Hey there, I'm Melanie Reed, and this is the HR Mentor. I'm very honored and grateful that I'm able to record this episode from my home on the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territories of the Tecumloops to Shikwetmik people within Shikwetmik Ulu. And I'm very thankful for the stewards of this land and that I'm able to live, work, and play here. Today, I'm very excited to bring you my first episode of Season 5 with my new part-time co-host, Michelle Emerill. Earlier this year, when Michelle and I were brainstorming topics for Season 5, this one came to the top of the list for both of us. If you've been listening to me for a while, you know just how important I feel networking is to your HR job search and your career. And often I acknowledge that part of finding success with networking is reframing what it is to help you get over your fear of actually engaging in any kind of networking activities. But both Michelle and I recognize that this is easier said than done for a lot of people, especially those of you that identify as being introverted. So in this episode, Michelle and I are going to talk about strategies you can use to take advantage of networking for your career and job search, even if you feel drained by putting yourself out there. We promise that by the end of this episode, you are no longer going to feel like building a successful network of like-minded HR people is only for extroverts who never seem to get tired of other people. I know you are excited to hear these strategies, so let's get started. Welcome to the HR Mentor Podcast, the podcast dedicated to guiding early career HR professionals towards an amazing and fulfilling HR career. I'm your host, Melanie Reed. I'm a seasoned HR professional and university professor who has been right where you are on the brink of an amazing HR career. Through this podcast, we will explore actionable career strategies that will help you build organizational credibility and propel your career forward. Whether you're on your commute, taking a break, or just seeking some inspiration, you're in the right place to create a career and a life that you love. Hey, Michelle, it's so great to have you on here to chat about this topic today.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited to be here again.
Yeah, I know. This is such a great partnership. And I was so thrilled when you said yes to doing this with me. So I'm excited for what this season's going to look like.
Me too. It's very different for me because, as I said before, this is not something that I'm used to do, but I'm very happy to be here.
Yeah, that's great. Now, I know when we were brainstorming topic for this season, this was a topic that we both felt really strongly about bringing on the show and talking about. But I wanted to start by asking you why you felt this was a really important conversation to have.
Yeah, of course. So I do believe that for some people, networking can be very scary, right? Some people, they don't know how to start. And I decided even to ask some of my friends, like introverted friends, if they could describe in three words the feeling that they have about networking. And four words kind of stand out. So they said they feel very anxious, overwhelmed, awkward, and effort. And I think that's why it's important to talk, because we don't want people to feel this way. We do want them to feel that it can be something organic and natural, right? So I think that's why it's important to talk.
And that's, you know, I know we're talking about this from the perspective of introverts, but I also know that word networking can be triggering for people, because it does seem to elicit this fear response, this anxious response. And so I think it's really good that we're talking about this, not just from the perspective even of introverts. You know, that's some of the strategies that you're going to share today. But I think for everybody, it's about getting over that initial kind of visceral reaction to the word networking, because it can hold you back from really doing things that will help you in your career and in your job search. So think that's great that you talk to people, and it's not surprising to me that that's their reaction. Now,
Yes.
I've always considered myself to be an extrovert, but I do find, and I've taken these various assessments over the years, that as I get older, the more I feel a need to kind of withdraw from being around people in order to recharge my batteries, and the more comfortable I am and the more drawn I am to alone time. And so maybe that's just a me thing, but I feel like my extroversion scale has pulled back quite a bit. I'm wondering if you can just, so that everyone's on the same page, talk a little bit about how extroversion and introversion are different.
Yes, for sure. So extroverts, they are typically outgoing, right? They are like energized by being around people. So they are very social. And introverts, they find it like mentally draining, spending too long in social environments, especially environments that they are not used to with people that they don't know. And they need time on their own to re-energize. But one thing that I thought was very interesting because I never heard about is ambivert. Have you heard about ambivert before?
No, I haven't.
I know it's super curious as well. And I was listening and reading about this when I was doing the research for this podcast, right? So I do believe I'm an ambivert. So it's something the middle between the introvert and extrovert. So I'm very comfortable in social situations the same way I am when I'm alone. So I kind of like you, I need time to recharge as well on my own. And I like social environments and I feel very comfortable, but I do like to be alone as well and read a book or listen to a podcast, right? So I thought it was very interesting because we see a lot about extroversion and introversion, but we don't hear a lot about ambivert.
Yeah, that's so interesting because, I think there's something that I always worry about putting people in these sort of extreme boxes, right? You're either extroverted or introverted. Well,
Yes.
is that in every situation? Is that, are you always on the extremes? And some of the assessments that I've used over the years, one of them, and this is not a plug, but I've used Preview a lot. And one of the things I like about Preview is that people aren't put into these strict little boxes. It's a sliding scale, and you don't have to be in one extreme or the other. And in fact, most people land somewhere in the middle on these constructs, right? Of being outgoing versus, shy, that
Yes,
sort
that's
of
for
thing.
sure. And different situations will bring like different personalities on you as well. If you are very comfortable with your friends and with people that you know or you get along very well, maybe you will be extrovert, right? Because you will feel very comfortable there. But if you are in a situation where you are not very comfortable or you don't know many people, maybe you will be more shy
Right.
and you will be more like an introvert. So it really
Right.
depends on the situation as well. And I don't like to put people in a box, but I really like the idea that there is something in the middle between extroversion and introversion because it was something new for me.
Well, and it's funny because, when I think about myself and how things have changed over the years, I would say I was extra. Well, I am extroverted. So if I've had a really long week, I get energy by being around people. So, for example, yesterday after work, we had this big meeting. We had these sessions all day. I went out for a drink with my coworkers and we laughed and we talked. And,
Yes.
and that makes me feel good. That's energizing. But if somebody would have said to me yesterday, "Do you want to go to this networking event with a bunch of strangers, like a chamber social or something?" I would have been like, "Heck no, I'm going home." Like,
Yes.
right? So it's interesting because I feel like if it was people I'm comfortable with, then that would have been energizing for me. But if it was with strangers, I would have found that draining.
Yes,
Does that
because
make
you have to
sense?
put, yeah, of course, because you have to put more effort, right? You have to get to know
Yeah.
people. Like, I think when we go to networking events, I believe you are like myself, we are trying to build a strong connection with people. It's
Right.
not just about small talk or just say your name, but actually getting to know them. And I think that's why it's hard when you are feeling drained after a hard week at work to do something like that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. That's great. Okay, so now that we sort of have that bit of understanding, I really want you to talk about some of the strategies that you put together for people who see themselves as introverts and how they can take advantage of networking or engage in networking for their career or their job search.
For sure. So I really think people, they need to see networking is something for everybody. It's not just for one person. It's not just for extroverted or people that can be very social, but you have to find a way to network that works for you. So you can make it fun without feeling overwhelmed. And how can you do that? One thing that you can do, sometimes you can go to these network events and you can bring someone with you. You could bring a friend with you that would make you feel more comfortable. You should always try to be yourself because if you are trying to pretend you are somebody else, it would be very hard for you. Online networking could be a way as well. Social media is out there, so we can use social media as our friend as well in this kind of situation and get to know people online. Sometimes it can be easier than in person. I do believe that sometimes connecting one-on-one with people, maybe inviting people for like coffee or just something one-on-one could be easier than go to a networking event with like 100 people there.
Right.
Active listening is really important and just cultivate like this meaningful connection with people, right? You should always try the best way possible to be yourself. I think sometimes in these network events, we see people just try to fit in, and that's not this should never be the goal. You shouldn't try to fit in. You should be yourself, and then you will feel this sense of belonging that we are always trying to achieve. Introverts, they are great listeners. So it's a key asset to HR professionals, right? We know it's really important. So embrace your strengths and make sure you bring that to your network event. You should be prepared as well and do your homework. So, what kind of event is that? Learn as much as possible beforehand so you avoid to be caught by surprise. So you know where you are getting into and will reduce your anxiety as well, right? Because you will be fully prepared, you know what it's coming. Sometimes you go to these network events and they will have like a panel and they will ask questions for you. If you do your research, you know that maybe you have to answer some questions. But
Right.
if you are caught by surprise, you can imagine for an introvert to have to ask answer questions in front of everybody. It can be very hard, right?
Right.
So I think this is some of the strategies that they can use.
So I want to ask you about a couple of them. So
Yes.
bring a friend. Now, would you recommend that somebody brings more extroverted friend with them, or somebody who maybe has more experience with networking events, or is it just somebody that you can have by your side if you're feeling uncomfortable so that you're not standing alone? That's what I always worry about when I go to these events. Again, even though I'm extroverted, I'm very shy and I don't
Yes.
know people. So I go into these events and I look for somebody I know. And I beeline it for that person I know because I don't want to be standing there with the drinks by myself, waiting
Yes.
for someone to come and talk to me.
Well, I would say that you have to find someone that you feel comfortable with, but you have to be careful as well to not just stick around with that person, right? It's a
Right.
networking event, so you want to connect with other people. So I think someone that is related to your field as well. So, for example, at TRU, I got to know a lot of students, right?
Right.
That they are studying the same field that I am, so HR. So, for me, I would, for example, invite someone from school, like someone that I know and that I get along really well, and that I would say, look, we do have the CPHR event coming up. Do you want to go together? Do you want to meet
Right.
somewhere so we can get there together? It's really hard for you to get to a place and just walk in, right? When you are going
Yes.
to, oh my God, it's so scary.
It
Like when you
is.
don't know anybody, sometimes you just wait outside for someone that you know so you can go in together. So I think if you bring someone that they have the same kind of common interest than you, and
Okay.
professionally speaking, they would understand what this event is about, I think that would be a smart move to do.
Yeah. I mean, you don't want to bring your partner who's not in
No, it doesn't
your
make any
field of
sense,
study,
right?
right? Or bring your mom or one of your kids or something like that. Yeah. No, I think that makes sense, right? Somebody that you can enter with, feel comfortable with, but then the idea is that you break away and that kind of happens naturally. I like that. Yeah, I wouldn't have thought of that. Now, in terms of being yourself and being prepared, so I understand what you're saying about know what the event actually is and what to expect when you get there. Like I know the CPHR events that we go to, the spring socials, the fall socials, they often have games. Now, games aren't my favorite thing at these kind of events, but I will say that it gets people talking and moving around the room instead of sitting just with the people you know, because that's what I tend to do. I know a lot of people at those events, but I go and I sit with the people I'm most comfortable with. And so if we didn't do those things, but I like to know that that's what's going to happen.
Yes,
Right?
me too. Yes, I'm not really shy, so I feel very comfortable in social events, but I do like to be prepared. So every time I go to a networking event, I always try to understand why I'm going there. What is the purpose of this event? And try to find like a network event that makes sense for you. You don't have to go to every single one of them.
Right.
You have to ask yourself why you are going there, right? Why am I going to this networking event? What is the purpose? Is this important to me in some way? And this will make you feel more confident as well and interest on what you are doing. You have to find your purpose, that's for sure. And games, I think they could be a great idea to break the ice without making people feel uncomfortable, right? You are not pushing people to do these things, but you are actually just giving them an opportunity to play along and getting to know each other. So I do think it's a fun part of networking events. The last CPHR event that we went, I think they had something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I think the last one I went to was the fall one. Did I go to the holiday one? I can't remember,
I
but
think it
I,
was at Bright Eye. No.
Oh, I did not go to that one. No.
Oh, that one was really fun.
Okay. There you go. I missed it. Oh yeah. Cause it was in December and I was already traveling with my family, but what I was going to say, I was smiling, thinking about, you know, you said, getting people to do things, you know, maybe to meet people, but not make them uncomfortable. And I guess, you know, where I first saw games was at a CPHR event years ago, and it was a holiday party. And they had people doing these games. Like they were like physical party games, and they were so embarrassing.
Oh, no.
And I was like, this is why I don't like doing games at these things. Like if I was with my family in my living room, I would do stuff like that. But they were kind of embarrassing. You had to move your hips around with it was just,
oh no.
Yes. And
And
I
that
was
just
like,
makes you don't want to go again, right? Ever.
Exactly. I
Oh my
don't
God.
Want to play games. But you know, then they most since then they've all been pretty benign and just a way for people to get to know each other and they're all fun. But
And I think this is something really important that you just said as well. It's not because you had like a bad experience that every single event will be like that. You have to give like another event a chance to. Sometimes you have a bad experience, but it doesn't mean the next one will be the same. So just give it a try once again and see how it goes.
Yeah,
Maybe you
that's
are
a good
going
point.
To the wrong event as well, right? It's not the right place for you.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I'm glad you said that because it's just like, you know, the way we look at interviews, you have one bad interview. It doesn't mean the next one's going to be bad. You have one negative interaction with a customer. It doesn't mean the next customer is going to, you're going to have a negative interaction with. And you can take yourself out of a lot of experiences if you live that way, assuming that, you know, one bad experience is going to lead to all bad experiences. So yeah, I'm glad you said that. I love what you said about trying the one-on-one thing if you're introverted and you find these events really uncomfortable? Because I know on top of being introverted, a lot of people have social anxiety. And
yes.
So going to something like these events we're describing would be like absolutely heck no experiences for them. And that is okay. You don't have to go to these, you don't even have to go to events. So I always refer people to episode 8 of this podcast, where I break down the whole setting up informational interview processes and how to do that. There's a free download and I walk you through the whole process. But I'm wondering if you can talk about how people might find individuals online or otherwise that they could set up one-on-one conversations with. Like, how would you go about that?
For sure. Well, for me, it's really important for me to find like a meaning on the relationships, right? I don't want to just know someone by the name, but I really want to have like deep, meaningful conversations with people. So I do try to find like when I'm not on social media anymore, on Instagram, for example, but that's how I got to know you, right?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was not living here in Canada. I was living in New Zealand. So I was trying to find people that could professionally teach me some things. And I found your podcast and I thought it was awesome because I didn't know much about HR. And I remember I was during the pandemic and I was doing some exercise outside and I was listening to the podcast because I really like it, the way that you were talking about like the HR profession and all the tips that you were giving to us, right? So I was trying to find people with common interests. So it's really
right.
important to find people that you see, you have not just common interests, but you can see them as friends or colleagues in some ways.
Right.
For me, like with your podcast, I was trying to learn about HR, right? So that's why I got to know you. I tried to message you on Instagram and on LinkedIn as well. When I got here to Canada, I would invite people for a coffee. Look, I'm new to the town. I'm from this place and I'm studying HR and I want to get to know you. So could we go for a coffee and chat about this and that? So you have to find things in common that you could talk.
Right. Was that successful for you? Like, did you find most people said yes to that?
Yes. A lot of
Okay.
people, they said yes to that. So I feel
Yeah.
like it's because I think it's the way that I was trying to approach them. So I was trying first to get to know them more. So check the LinkedIn profile, sometimes the posts that we have in common or connections that we have in common, people that you follow. For example, some of these people, they were following Brené Brown, Simon Sinek. That is some people that I really like. And I thought was something common that we could have, that we could chat about it. So this kind of things helped.
Right.
And I think because it was very genuine, really, I was not just trying to build my network, but I was trying to get to know more people in town and I was new. TRU, they got like amazing events as well. So
right.
I know we have lots of students that listen to us. So you can go to these network events and try to get to know people there. And then you can invite them, right? You can,
right.
well, you just get to know someone in an event and then you can get the contact details and you can maybe invite them for a coffee or something. So this
yeah.
really worked for me.
Yeah. And I love what you're saying there. It's a bit of a reframe on the purpose of this. So if you go into this exercise that we're calling networking, if you go into this with this idea that it has to lead to a job or a career opportunity or something, you're probably going to be disappointed.
Yes.
But if you go into it with this idea that you're not trying to network, you're just meeting people that are like-minded or meeting people that can share information with you. It's
yes.
really just an exchange. You're giving information to them. You're collecting information from them. Like if you just look at it as kind of meeting someone new that you have common interests with, I think that can disarm a lot of the fear around networking, right? And
yeah.
And again, most people will probably say yes, especially to a new graduate or a student who's trying to learn about a profession. We always want to talk about our careers and our paths. And most people, especially for the further they get along in their career, the more they want to give back.
Yes, that's so true. I think the first step on networking, it's about building strong connections. It's not about what I can take from this person, but it's about what I can give to them, right? What we can exchange and support each other in some way, because we are always learning. Even if you are a senior in your profession, I'm sure we can share other things to each other, right? I will learn every time with even a student, we are learning with each other all the time. So you have to find ways to build these meaningful connections. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time. It's very superficial. You are not having like meaningful connections with people. You are just trying to take something. And it's not about take, it's more about give and exchanging information to people, right? I think one mistake that people really make is when they go to even one-on-one coffee and they just say, "Oh, great to see you, Melanie. I'm looking for a job. Can you please check my resume? Or can you be a reference, or can you give me a referral for something?" And this is not the way, right? I won't go out with you again if this is the first impression that you were giving to me. So it's really important to think about these things.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's part of where being prepared comes in. Like, if you find somebody that you're interested in meeting through Instagram or LinkedIn or your university, something to that effect, then make a list of a few things that you have in common that you can talk about or ask about. And I usually recommend to people to come with, five or six kind of big questions that would get the other person talking, and then you just kind of build from there, but also
Yes.
be prepared to share some things about your own journey and where you hope to see yourself going, because they will most likely ask you those questions.
Yes.
So be prepared for both. Be prepared for giving information, for adding value to the conversation, and also to ask questions that would keep the conversation going.
For sure. It's not just about, it's being fully prepared for this kind of networking. It's not something simple, but we can make it more natural, I think. Especially if you are learning beforehand what you are doing, we'll make it easier for sure. We talked a bit about getting to know people that are like-minded, but I really think it's important for you sometimes as well to get to know people that will challenge you in some way, not just try to find people that have co having like common interests or things that you like, right? Is that it's always the same, but you really want to find people that can challenge you in some way as well. Sometimes they will think different, and it's important to understand why. And maybe you will see things in a different perspective. And I think this is really important too.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a
Yeah.
good point. Yeah, don't be afraid of people who are different than you, or see the world a little bit differently than you.
Yes.
Now, I wanted to talk a little bit before we wrap up about quality versus quantity in networking, because this is something that struck me when I interviewed you last year on the show. And I remember you saying, and you've talked about it a little bit today, that you would rather have really deep conversations than meet a lot of people and have a whole bunch of surface level conversations and relationships. And I just want to know why you think that's so important.
I don't think networking is not about numbers. And I think it's more about the quality of the relationships that you make with others. It's really about building strong connections, and superficial connections, they won't last. That's the thing. You can get to know someone superficially now, and you won't remember them the next day, and they won't remember you either because it's not strong. So people will be connected with you for like in a long term if they get to know you and they know it's genuine and authentic, and that you were really interested on them, right? I think it's really important these days to think about networking, like relationship building. How can I connect with people in a different level and not just in a level where I can take something? Like I was saying, maybe I want this referral, or I want someone for a reference, or I want someone to recommend me to a job, but it's more about letting people know who I am as a person, who is Michelle, who is Melanie, right?
Right.
And then these people will be able to refer me because they really know me and we really build this strong connection. So I think networking needs to stop to be about the number of followers that you have on social media or LinkedIn. It's more about how well you know people.
Yes. And I think this is something that I'm struggling with a little bit right now and what I'm seeing a bit of online. And I'm curious as to how you see this. But I find that, how can I say this? So I'll just go back. I look at my kids and their friends, right?
Yes.
They all have Snapchat and that's how they meet people. And they snap people that they've never met in person. Maybe they go to another school, but they still live in the same city or whatever. And eventually they might start talking to each other, right? And I know, you know, my kids have met people this way and built relationships slowly over time, but most of them remain fairly superficial.
Yes.
But eventually some of them, they build a relationship and that's cool. What I'm seeing with adults online is people reaching out through social media, and because they've made a couple of connections with you, they take on this sort of overly familiar approach with you. And I find that a little uncomfortable, like talking to you like they're your best friend before they've really built any kind of relationship with you. And I think you can, and I, you know, my kids and I have talked about this a number of times. I do believe you can build relationships through texting and social media, but I find it a lot harder and a lot more time consuming and less comfortable. I'm a verbal person. I like talking. I find that to be the best way to get to know somebody. But I think you have to be careful that you're not overly familiar too quickly just because you've read somebody's profile doesn't mean you know them.
Yeah, people can be even scared. It's scary, right? Because like with the internet, you were not seeing people as well. So it's kind of you were going there without knowing what you were getting into. So you need to be careful on the way that you send message to people or how you can keep it, especially we are talking about a professional setting, right?
Yeah.
How can you talk to people in a professional manner without being too much or over-friendly in a way that is seen as unprofessional?
Yeah.
So you have to be very careful. There is a fine line there that you can cross. And I think it's hard because we are talking about internet and you are not seeing this person, right?
Yeah.
So you are just messaging them. I do prefer in-person events and things than internet connections, like build connections through the internet. Yes, it's helpful. It's good. It's great because we can connect with people from everywhere, but I still prefer to see people in person. And in person, you can read the signs, right? Sometimes you say some things and you can just tell that the person maybe didn't like it and you can just adapt and adjust, right? Yeah. And I think sometimes relationship takes time. It's not something that you will build straight away. And I think sometimes people these days, they want something now. They want now. They won't wait.
Yeah.
And I want to have a relationship with Melanie, build this relationship, professional relationship with her right now. And it's not like that. You won't be Melanie's friend the next day. You have to build this connection and this relationship over time, even through the internet, will take time, right?
And I was going to say, you know, there's nothing wrong with setting up a video chat, like, you know, a Zoom call. If you're not physically in the same place and you have some text messages or DMs or whatever back and forth with somebody and you feel like, well, I'd really like to have a conversation and, you know, kind of build a relationship with this person, invite them to have a virtual coffee chat. There's nothing wrong with that. But this way of, you know, having to think on your feet and to actually engage with somebody is going to tell you whether or not there's a kind of a connection there. Whereas I find that people can hide a lot behind the words and people will say all kinds of things that they probably wouldn't say to your face. And I think there needs to be some kind of genuine connection with somebody in order to build a relationship and build trust. And I think you made another really important point there, that there's also a safety factor. Like,
yes,
I get nervous if people are overly familiar or overly persistent. And I feel like we have to be careful about that. There's a lot of information about us online. And, you know, I just went through this process earlier this year of really like looking at what information I have online and locking things down quite a bit, because there's so much fraud and theft happening out there. And I don't want to scare people, but you have to think about this stuff.
Yes.
You have to be smart about what you tell people you don't know or don't. Mm-hmm. They don't know you, kind of thing, right?
And you should share personal things over time too. It's not something that you should share in your, it's like a date, right?
Yeah.
Would you share with your date, first date, everything about your life? No. So professionally, it's the same thing. So just try to build connections over time. I think networking, it's similar to a date. So you will build strong connections over time. You don't meet your husband on your first date. You won't know that this is your husband or your wife, right?
Yeah.
Or whatever, but you will take time. So you have to think about that. Yeah. Time is important in build strong connections. That's for sure.
I agree. Yeah. That's important. Good. So just before we wrap up, I just want to kind of review some of the things that you've recommended here today. So when we're talking about networking, more specifically for introverted people, some of the things they can do that you've recommended: if you're going to a physical event, bring a friend, be prepared and know what type of event you're going to and what the expectations are. Be yourself, so important, right? Mm-hmm. Don't try and be the person you think somebody else wants you to be, because A, you can't keep that up, and B, there's no value in that, because you are who you are and you have wonderful things to offer, and you just have to find your people, right?
That's right. So, yes.
Yeah. Be yourself. Don't be afraid of online networking. If that's the most comfortable thing for you, reaching out to people that way and making connections. And then you also said, you know, quality over quantity is the best strategy. So rather than making this a numbers game and trying to have 1,000 people in your network by XYZ day, you know, just make meaningful connections with the people that are of interest to you, that are interesting to you. Right?
100%. Yes. Yeah. It's not about the numbers of people that you have following you on LinkedIn. It's about the strong connections that you build with them. If you think about that, you have 1,000 followers on LinkedIn, how many of those people do you know?
Yeah.
How many of these people do you truly know and you have a connection with them? That's the most important question to ask, right?
Yeah, I agree. So just before we wrap it up, is there anything else you want to say about this topic or any other thoughts you want to leave people with?
Well, this was very nice. So thank you so much.
It was nice.
I do have a quote from Brené Brown. I do admire her so much, and I think she's awesome. And sometimes we are too afraid to show up. And I think this quote is really nice. So she say that the courage starts with showing up and letting ourselves be seen. And I think it's so important to let people see you as who you are as a person, and don't try to pretend, like you say, to be someone that you are not. Just be yourself. You are unique, and you have to show the world what you are as a person, right? Don't pretend to be someone that you are not. And just by having the courage to show up to this kind of events, you should be very proud of yourself, because it can be very hard.
Yeah, that's beautiful. I love that. Just show up and let the world see you. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
Thank
great
you
advice.
So much. It was
Thank
super
you,
fun.
Michelle. This was great.
Thank you.